Greetings and may the peace of Christ be with you. Welcome to Holy Family Radio. This is Deacon Jim Thorndale. I'm privileged to be your host today. I warmly invite you to enter into another conversation on living the Catholic life. How many times do we say that we believe in the right to life, and yet we don't really step up to the plate and defend those issues? Well, today I have with me a woman who's done exactly that. She has stepped up to the plate, and she is a profound advocate for the unborn. And I want to welcome Patty Cordy, who is the president of Right to Life here in Grand Rapids. Patty, thank you for being here.
Thank you, Jim. It's an honor to be here.
Oh, gosh, what a joy. You know, Patty, we do live, in a sense, in a culture of death. And it's really an ongoing struggle, I know, for you and your group that continues on this journey. You know, I think what we need to know from you is, how did you get involved in this? Because you've bitten off a lot in this one. This is really a profound ministry you're into. So tell us, how did you get into this place?
Well, gosh, Jim, mine is kind of a simple story, really. You know, I grew up Catholic in Ohio.
Mm-hmm.
Abortion was never even a word that we used, you know. I mean, I never even knew what it was until probably high school or college when I did a paper on it.
But we knew what they were going on at the time.
Yes. But then when we moved to Grand Rapids, my mother-in-law, Jane Cordy, was very active in the beginnings of the Right to Life movement in Grand Rapids.
Okay.
And I think we had three little kids under three, but I said to her, I would like to do something. So basically I started off, they would bring some mailings home and I would do it, you know, when the kids were napping or whatever.
Yeah.
And then I just continued to get a little more involved. It was never been a gray issue for me.
Yeah.
I mean, I just couldn't see where the gray would be. It was, you
right.
know, everyone has a right to life, and from the very beginning of fertilization. So I just kind of got involved that way. I don't really have a story.
No, but let me ask you this question. Was the issue of life always clear in your mind, that there was no other thing than the natural birth of a child, and there's nothing else to interfere with that?
Always.
Okay.
It was always in my mind.
Okay.
I did have one instance then, because, you know, once you say that you're pro-life, sometimes you're not challenged, but asked to step up. And I did have a niece in Ohio who had a crisis pregnancy.
Okay.
And at the time, my husband Paul said, you know, why don't we ask her to come up here? And because she was kind of not welcomed in her own home. And anyway, so she came here, and she finished out her pregnancy. We found a nice doctor to help her, and she adopted the baby out.
Wonderful.
You know, and it's one of the things that was really, it was really no challenge. There was no doubt, and
yeah.
it was an honor to be a part of all that.
You know, and what a courageous act for your niece, is that what you said?
It was a very courageous act. As a matter of fact, the judge was Judge Randy Heckman
yes.
at the time, and
yes.
I remember when she actually signed the baby over, and he told her that. He
yeah.
said, Karen, you've made some family a very happy family, but this was a big sacrifice.
It is. Yeah. It is. But by the grace of God,
mm-hmm.
she bore that child.
She did.
And
she's very happy that she did today
yes.
and knew that he was in a good home.
You know, and there's something to mothers that suffer through an abortion. They languish in that for a long time. Sometimes they never get over it. But a mother who has freely decided to have that child can always look back and say, you know, I did the right thing.
That's right. You know, and when these poor mothers come down to the abortion clinic, you know, I mean, they are stressed, most of them. And as soon as they leave, you can tell
yeah.
that they're in regret. And then a lot of them, it doesn't affect for years,
exactly.
for 20 or 30 years. And that's a group called Silent No More. You know, they're the ones that stand out in front of the Supreme Court and with the signs that say, I regret my abortion.
Yeah, yeah.
And so it is, the post-abortive syndrome is widely known, and you just want to tell these young women these days, you know, that you're not sure what's going to happen later on.
Patty, have they done many studies on the men who have participated in, or maybe the girlfriend or wife have had an abortion, and what the effect has been in their life?
Well, you know, unfortunately, some of these men don't even know
yeah,
that the abortion happened. But I'm not familiar with any
okay.
studies really on that.
Because I've talked to men through my ministry
mm-hmm.
at times, and there's been some some agony in their life, and looking back and knowing the decision wasn't the right one.
Right.
And so it affects everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody who thinks they get away from the effects of an abortion are kidding themselves, because it's such a profound loss in their life. So, but anyway, so here you are. You've taken on this role as president.
Right.
Yes. Tell us a little bit what's going on locally, first of all, with Right to Life.
Well, Right to Life is busy. You know, we have three goals, really. We get involved in legislation. Education is our primary goal.
Okay.
And, you know, at first when abortion became legal, we were asked to speak a lot, you know, to get the word out there and give talks on fetal development. But because it's an older issue now, you know, it's 40-some years old, we aren't getting those requests as much as we were. So some of the younger kids aren't hearing the message.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, it's very hard to get into the public system. You can get into the Christian schools, but we do try to educate. We have a student life coordinator, and she talks and gets groups at the college level, at the high school level, and she'll go into the elementary schools too. And you know, when an issue comes up like stem cell research, then we'll get some of the big guys, the doctors out, you know, the pro-life doctors, and they'll do panels for us. And things like that. But education is very, very important. It's our number one key. Just to get the idea that life is good, you know, and that Right to Life actually isn't this terrible group, you know, that's trying to pull everybody down.
Yeah.
We were at the Women's Expo in March, and we chose to have a booth there because Planned Parenthood had their booth.
Right.
And they had, they had their booth, and they had a basket with condoms and, you know, how to use a condom. And, you know, so a lot of people went by our booth and said, "We're so glad you're here. We are so glad you're here."
Wonderful.
And then there were many stories of girls, women that were 13 or 14 and gave birth, or they've taken their grandchildren in. We're so lucky in Grand Rapids that we have so many agencies, and we work with those agencies. That's one of our primary things at Right to Life. We have a luncheon every other month at Bethany, and we ask these groups to come together.
Yes.
And it's just so nice. I had an instance years ago where Ruth Collar, who ran the Pregnancy Resource Center at in Lowell out at St. Mary's, and she was talking to a fellow from Mel Trotter, and he was saying, "Oh, we're really low on baby food. You know, women are coming in with babies, and we have no baby food." And she said, "We have a whole pallet that we're not using, it's ready to expire." So, you know, they traded names and got together. And so Grand Rapids is unusual, I think, for a city to have over 30 agencies, from adoption agencies to helping the mother. Another group called Cradles of Grace will stay with the girl for 2 years, you know, and help her with everything, appointments and try to find a job and education. So if a girl wants to keep her baby, She lives in the right town.
Praise
she
God.
Really does.
That's wonderful.
Unfortunately, some have the attitude, "If I can't have this baby, I don't want anyone to have it."
Yeah. And it's such a misunderstanding of life.
It is.
Such a terrible misunderstanding of life. And you brought something up, Patty, that really kind of struck me. You said you were at that women's conference, you were there along with the Planned Parenthood.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I would suggest that there were women who had probably suffered abortions and saw your booth there and were drawn to it because of what went through their life. And I'm sure they were absolutely tickled to death to have you there because they need that voice. Even though they're not able to articulate it, they need somebody to speak for them.
Right.
And so that's what you do.
Right.
You become the force for them. You become the warrior for them when they can't speak for themselves.
Yeah.
So I thank you for that.
Yeah, thank you. Well, we enjoyed being there, and a lot of women stopped by and took our literature. We had a lot of pamphlets, you know, and we had some of our events for the teens that are coming up.
Yeah.
So.
And, you know, and Patty, you and I know Right to Life isn't a Catholic organization per se.
Right.
It's ecumenical, mm-hmm. but we're Catholics.
Mm-hmm.
And from our Catholic perspective, too, even the understanding of birth control and all that takes
right.
on a whole different issue for us, because we know that marriage and the relationship is supposed to be between a husband and a wife.
Right.
Exclusively. And we know it's supposed to be unitive and procreative, which goes right to the heart
mm-hmm.
of marriage and the understanding of conception.
Mm-hmm.
And it's difficult for many people to accept that.
It is.
Yeah.
It is.
And there becomes the rub, is that a lot of people don't want to be told what to do, or so they think they're being told.
Yes. Yes.
But they're really being led on a journey to the Lord.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. In obedience.
Yes.
In obedience.
Yes.
That's right.
So anyways, mm-hmm. you've got stuff going on in Grand Rapids. Tell us about it.
Well, we are coming up to a busy spring with a golf outing and a few other events that a bike and hike and so on. But our primary thing, well, this is an election year.
Right.
So we, as an affiliate of Right to Life of Michigan, we will interview candidates.
Okay.
They're at the local level, mostly at the local level.
Okay.
And what we do is send out a form, a questionnaire to some of the candidates. And if they don't return it, then we know that they're not interested in our
right.
endorsement.
No response is a response.
Right.
Yes.
But if they do respond, then we will call them in and do an interview.
Okay.
And just to make sure that they're really pro-life. And most of them are, if they want our endorsement.
Okay.
Some of them might have a rape and incest exception. And, you know, a lot of times they need to be educated.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes these interviews, we will tell them about people who have survived rape, who are wonderful people.
Yes.
And just because they were conceived in rape doesn't mean that they are a bad person.
Exactly.
But
Wasn't you one of your speakers at one of the Right to Life dinners?
Well,
just about that?
Yes, we've had quite a few of them. As a matter of fact, in January at our memorial service, we had Rebecca Kiesling.
Okay.
And she is one of the six or seven that testified when we had the for the opt-out
okay.
legislation. They were all survivors of rape.
Yeah.
And so they testified there. But yes, Rebecca said her mother was raped and chose to keep her. And then at our breakfast on May 13th, we're also having a gal by the name of Shauna Pruitt.
Okay.
And she also was raped. She herself was raped. And kept the baby. And this is another bill that's coming up. And actually, the father of the baby tried to go for custody.
Mm.
This is a rape case.
Yes.
So not many people know that can happen. And
that almost seems unbelievable.
It does. It does, that there's no protection
yes.
for the mother. But he apparently, I think, threatened her and said that he was going to go for custody of the baby if she pressed charges. And so then she didn't press charges so that she could, you know.
Yes.
Because this was just somebody at the University of Chicago, and she didn't even know the person.
Oh, my.
But anyway, you get into things like that. But
yes.
But so once we have a candidate fills out an interview form, and we recommend to Right to Life of Michigan to their PAC,
okay.
their Political Action Committee, because as an affiliate, Grand Rapids cannot endorse, but we can recommend.
Okay. During this interview process, would you give them let them know you give them a thumbs up or thumb down
yes.
before they leave?
No.
Okay.
They are informed because they have to hear it from Right to Life of Michigan,
okay.
the PAC.
Okay. So you have the committee, and then you give recommendations
right.
on who should be endorsed.
Right.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So, but I want to go back to one thing, too. I hope people were listening. May 13th is going to be the Right to Life breakfast.
Yes, this is going to be at Aquinas College
okay.
at 7:30 in the morning.
A good time.
We don't get a lot of Catholic priests there because it's mass time.
Exactly.
But, yes, Ed Rivett, who is a lobbyist for Right to Life of Michigan,
okay.
will be our MC. And then we're going to have this Shauna Pruitt, the girl who was raped. And she has an interesting story. But it's really a kickoff for our dinner,
right.
which is in October
right.
6th.
So all our listeners, if you're driving, please don't write it down right now. But if you're able to, put it in your calendar, May 13th at 7:30 in the morning at Aquinas College
right.
is the kickoff breakfast for Right to Life, and that's a very, very, very important time, and it really is a kickoff, like I said, for the Right to Life dinner, which
right.
is in October?
October 6th.
October 6th. Yep. So please be attentive to that if you would. So, Patty, how many people in Grand Rapids are involved with your organization here?
Well, we send out a newsgram to over, I think it's over 12,000 people.
Okay.
You know, as a lot of nonprofit, different organizations, you know, you try to get people to actually sign up as a member.
Yes.
And for them to fill in a membership form, they don't always do that. But people that are receiving our newsgram and that are active in our dinners and our fundraisers,
yes,
and things like that,
yeah,
we have quite a few. You know, we're seeing more and more young people, too.
Isn't that wonderful?
Well, it's wonderful, and that really is due to technology.
Yes.
You know, they know that this is a baby.
Yes.
You know, in the womb, and we have these little feet pins you've probably seen, and it's an 8-week-old, you know, this exact size of a baby.
Yes.
And I know that we gave a lot of those out at our expo, and people were just amazed, you know.
It is. I have to tell you this story because it was so profound for me. I had the opportunity to baptize two premature babies. One was 14 ounces, and one was 1 pound and 4 ounces. And I held that little baby in my hand in the incubator and just was able to get some holy water in there. Those babies lived.
Mm-hmm.
Those babies lived for another 3 or 4. One did pass away, the smallest one. But those were perfectly formed little human beings.
Right.
These little ladies. And, you know, it touched me so profoundly to see that. How could you ever deny it's anything but a child in that
right.
womb?
Yeah. And a lot of them do survive.
Yes.
With the technology we have today.
It's
just amazing.
Yes. So when you see that, you know, in God's providence, he will always provide for that child.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, it's wonderful. So you've got these volunteers. How many volunteers work for Right to Life?
Well, we have a lot of volunteers. We have a board of about 26 people,
okay,
and they're all volunteers. It's really a working board, you know. They don't just sign up their name. They're involved in a lot of them do some speaking, and a lot of them are involved in our events. And then we actually have 3 girls who are full-time employees, paid employees at the office, but the rest of us are all volunteers.
Okay, everybody in there is giving their time for the love of God.
Yeah, they work our events, and they.
You know, I just planning a men's conference. I know that's enormous work. How long you must work all year to plan the Right to Life dinner? That's got to be an ongoing.
Oh, you know, we have two dinner chairmen. You know, that do that. It's been Ann Rossi and Arnett Krause for a long time. And, yes, they work. And a lot of callers, people that try to get tables set up and so on. So,
tirelessly.
Yeah. So it's a big dinner committee.
Oh, how wonderful is that?
Yeah.
You know, here we are, too, in the Lenten season, Patty. And, by the way, you're listening to Holy Family Radio. This is Deacon Jim Thorndal. I'm with my guest, Patty Cordy, who is president of Right to Life. And we're having a conversation today about exactly that, the right to life, the abortion issue and everything else that goes on in this country, and really having a conversation on what we need to do and how we need to respond as men and women of the Lord. Mm-hmm. In love for our children. So, Patty, here we are in what with Catholics is, it's a Lenten season.
Yes.
And you kicked off a pretty big event on Ash Wednesday. Can you tell us about that?
Yes, 40 Days for Life. We were very, very honored to have Bishop Wolkowiak start off the 40 Days for Life Sunday with a Mass at St. Isidore's.
Wonderful.
And the bishop gave a wonderful homily on comparing the 40 days of fasting in the desert by Jesus and also 40 days with Moses and the 40 days of Lent, so that we started off on Ash Wednesday with this 40 days campaign. And, of course, you know what the weather's like has been in Michigan this year. So really they were warriors, the people that have gone out for the first part of the campaign.
Exactly.
But it's the 9th campaign in Grand Rapids. There's 35 churches involved. And there's,
so it's very ecumenical.
It's very ecumenical.
Yes.
A lot of Catholic, a lot of Christian Reformed, and a lot of Baptists and different denominations. And each church takes a day. Sometimes they'll take 2 or a half day. And we are praying from 6 o'clock in the morning until 6 o'clock at night.
Okay.
And it's been...
Now, is that being done in front of the abortion?
This is clinic? Right down on Fulton Street at 320 Fulton in front of the abortion clinic. And it's a very prayerful, peaceful campaign. We really don't want people to cause any trouble or really even talk to the clients.
Right. I have personally been on that prayer line, and I know that you keep your head down in humility and just pray to God. And you will be tempted to react at times to those people who would drive by. But you really ask God to give them an open heart.
That's right.
That they can understand what we're there for.
Yeah. Because there are sidewalk counselors that are on duty in the back parking lot next door, and they reach out to the clients, and they have materials. But
yes.
And they're also,
they have some limitations, correct?
Oh, definitely.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Tell our listeners about limitations that they're under. So.
Well, they can't really go into the property of the Heritage Clinic.
Okay.
So they own Mary Verwise, the Garden of Hope, owns the house next door to it. So they stand in the driveway, and then they offer help. They offer the clients to go see a good ultrasound.
Yeah.
Because we know that the one at the abortion clinic is old and dark on purpose.
Yes, of course.
And so many, not many, but you know, some of the girls have gone, and they followed them to help or to the Pregnancy Resource Center, and they've gotten a good ultrasound. And really, I think the statistic is 85% of the people that see their ultrasound will choose life.
Yeah, isn't that wonderful?
Yeah.
You know, that really is an understanding, but most of the people going there don't have that vision of what's inside them.
No, no.
And it always amazes me is the vernacular changes. If they don't want the child, it's a fetus.
Yes.
But if they want the child, it's a baby.
Right.
And, you know, it's just a matter, they think it's just a matter of just words, but it's not just words.
Mm-hmm.
It's understanding what's inside this creation of God. So that's a marvel. And I've seen the counselors work, and they do a marvelous job.
They do.
You know, there's been saves, and understand, too. I mean, many of them.
There have. In that campaign, there were over at least three that they knew of where women turned around.
Yeah.
And one mother even said, "Thank you. My daughter has changed her mind." So, you know, those are lives that have been saved. And actually, this clinic is busier since Muskegon closed.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
So we do have more coming from up north.
Was Right to Life instrumental in getting the Muskegon Clinic closed?
That was really kind of a no, we weren't, but other than through prayer.
Yeah.
Because that was the beginning of their, they had one 40 days campaign, and then their abortion clinic closed.
Is that right?
But it was health issues. I don't know if you saw that on the news, but that clinic was just a mess.
Oh, that was when you say health issues, the safety and health
safety,
of the women
health,
in there.
Yes, yeah. Cleanliness. And as a matter of fact, because of that issue, the omnibus bill, which passed last year, which was...
Tell us about that one.
That bill, an omnibus bill, is a bill that incorporates like three or four bills in it. And that one chose to regulate... Because abortion clinics were not regulated, they didn't have to withhold any of the HIPAA laws like we have.
Really?
Yeah. And, I mean, really, they were...
They aren't scrutinized like a medical office?
No.
Typically?
Now they will have to be because this law passed.
Yeah.
This bill passed. And also proper disposal. And that was after they found so many bodies in a dumpster in Lansing. And then coercion. You know, we're trying to get a definition of a coercion because that bill was part of it, that no one can be coerced. And you do see that, the boyfriend.
Of course.
You know, or maybe the mother, you know. But they have to get a good definition of what coercion is first.
Let me ask you this, Patty. There must be a certain age where, first of all, can any young woman walk into a clinic and get an abortion?
Well, I know the other day that there was a 13-year-old.
Without parental supervision?
Parent took her there.
Parents took her there?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Would the clinic take her without that?
I think they might. I'm not sure.
Yeah, okay.
I'm not sure. They shouldn't. I think there is.
Okay.
I think she would be considered a minor.
Well, the reason I asked that, too, is because you brought up a good point. I just imagine a lot of girlfriends, even wives.
Oh, yeah.
Being coerced by their husband or their boyfriend. I just said mothers or fathers who can have a tremendous amount of influence on a child living in their house. And against their own will, they'll go into those abortion clinics.
Right.
You must see a lot of that.
Yeah. You see that. You see the mothers who... the girl's walking in, and the mother is saying, you know, don't talk to her, don't talk to her, and the girl's crying.
Yeah.
You know, so you really kind of wonder if that girl wasn't forced into.
Yeah.
Yeah, the statistics on, like, in Kent County, I have some here.
Please.
Now, this is for 2012. That's the last ones, but there were 1,178 abortions. 144 were under 20. 419 were between 20 and 24. 340 were between 25 and 29. 150 were between the ages of 30 and 34. And 86 were between 35 and 39. And there were 39 that were 40 and older.
Right.
So it's kind of interesting,
yes.
You know, the statistics. But since they started keeping stats in 1987, the abortion rate has gone down by 52%.
Wonderful.
So, and every year we see it declining.
Wonderful.
So we're hoping.
You know, and I say wonderful in many ways, but in other ways too. You know that the contraceptive rate has gone up.
Yeah.
And I'm not here to condone or condemn right now contraceptive, but you know, it hasn't stopped the promiscuity.
Right.
In our country,
no.
People just learn how to get around the issue of conception.
Well, and the problem is the fallout of a contraceptive not working.
Yes.
Is abortion.
Exactly. Exactly.
You know?
And that's the reality.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. When you look at it that way, on a state level, what's going on at the state level?
Well, at the state level, we went to Legislative Day in March. And they have several pro-life bills that are being, one is the one to protect the girl where the rapist wants to have custody.
Okay.
Even though you think that shouldn't have, there has to be a bill on that. So they are working on that.
Let me ask you this. If it's truly is rape.
You would think.
Then this would be a felony.
Right. But if she doesn't press charges.
There's the caveat.
Mm-hmm.
If she doesn't press charges, then you can't have a felony charge.
Right. Mm. Yeah. So it's convoluted.
It is,
for sure.
It is, and in our system, then has no recourse.
Right.
My goodness.
If no one presses charges.
Yes.
I'm trying to think. I meant to bring some of the bills. You know, Ed Rivett is our lobbyist, and he's been doing that in Lansing for about 27 years, I think, and he's just wonderful. And he has a real good relationship with both Democrats and Republicans. You know, they just know that he's the pro-life. And he draws up bills when he sees, like this one, you know, and then would find a pro-life Senator House representative to present the bill.
Yeah.
And it works well. We'd still like to have choose life license plates, and they just won't honor it.
The state will not do that.
Not yet. We have Ducks Unlimited, but not Choose Life. And I think almost every other state has one.
What is it that holds us back from that? Just the legislator?
Yeah, the governor. The governor.
Isn't Bill Schuette? He's one of the pro-life gentlemen.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Definitely.
Yes. He's been at the breakfast.
Bill Schuette's been wonderful.
Yes,
he's very pro-life.
I've heard him speak.
Right.
So when you're advocating for something like license plates,
yeah, which is one of the minor things.
Well, it is a minor thing, but it goes to the very heart of the legislature,
mm-hmm.
and how we get around those type of things. Because you know, why don't we have an equal voice?
Right.
In the state,
yeah.
In regards to Planned Parenthood.
Well, exactly. I mean, they get so much funding. It's incredible.
Yes. And is that a lot of the funding coming to the state, obviously?
A lot of funding. Yeah. A lot of it's coming from the federal, too. But, you know, they're the biggest abortion provider,
yeah.
You know, in the state, in the United States, even. And they just continue. I mean, was it Catherine Sebelius that was just honored by Planned Parenthood, you know, a Catholic? And it's just, it's kind of a shame, you know.
You know, but you bring that up, and we've had this conversation before we came on air, and I've said it before. In our last election for president, it took about 62 million votes to elect a president, and there's a 77.7 registered Catholics in the United States. And I am asking our audience, in as honest as I can, why is it we cannot elect a pro-life president?
Right.
What is it that keeps us from that most basic understanding of the truth of life, That we can't, we as Catholics should really dominate in elections. Mm-hmm. And we don't let the grace flow through us mm-hmm. to really see the truth when it comes to this issue of abortion, because there is no greater issue.
Right.
Life is the most important issue. It's pivotal right. to everything else.
Yeah.
And that's the battle you're fighting.
We're fighting a lot of media, you know, a lot of Hollywood, you know. It's very hard to find pro-life Hollywood speakers, you know. Patricia Heaton is just probably one of the very few who speaks out in that climate, you know, because otherwise they just don't present it as a very important issue.
And if you walk, and I don't personally watch them, but I've seen highlights of some of these talk shows with the women on these talk shows, you know, that they really just absolutely denigrate anybody who would be pro-life.
Right.
You know, they give them no respect or really the dignity that these people are fighting a noble battle.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't get that.
No.
We don't get that. So, you know, and that being said, Patty, how is that you are funded then? What general, is it all from donations?
Oh, it's all donations. Great.
All donations.
Our fundraisers, you know, we have a golf outing, we have a bike and hike, our dinner.
Yep.
You know, so it's too bad because we'd rather, you know, do more of the education and legislation and so on. But you do have to have money to operate.
Absolutely.
And so, you know, almost all, we just only have, three office workers who really are there to answer the phone and help people and, answer questions.
Okay.
We have a 1-800, it's really Right to Life of Michigan's hotline.
Okay.
So if a person calls in for help, you know, they can direct them to one of these agencies that they need. So, yes, it's all donations. So we have, marketers that call out.
Yeah.
I'm sure everybody's gotten
exactly.
a call.
You know, and by the grace of God, at least within our Catholic churches, we have many priests who are speaking on abortion, who are advocates for this, for the right to life. All of them should be, mm-hmm. as we know. Let's go back a little bit to the money issue, too, because I think our listeners have to have a really keen understanding that you rely on their generosity, not on the state, not on the city, not at any federal level, because we can't get funding for that.
Not at all. We're all donations, you know, through... We have baby bottle drives that, you know, churches can pick up the baby bottles and
right.
return them. I think there's one going on at St. Paul the Apostle now during Lent. It's all by purely people sending in donations that
right.
we keep operating and that we can even have an office.
Yes,
you know?
Yes. So this breakfast coming up really isn't a fundraiser. But it does. You take in a little money, I'm sure, off of that.
We basically take enough to cover the breakfast.
Okay.
For that
okay.
one.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And the reason I say that, I want our listeners to understand that this would be a beautiful time to really get a little more understanding of what Right to Life does.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been there on many occasions on the breakfast, and
right.
it's a great, great morning, great way to start your day off.
That's right.
And it really leads you into understanding of the problem that exists. Of the necessity for funding and the battle that rages.
Right.
And I think the most important thing is for them to hear the battles you've won.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think they realize how many battles you have won.
Right, and the state of Michigan has passed more pro-life legislation than any state in the United States. We get an F rating by some of the liberal women's groups.
Of course.
And we're proud of that. We're very proud of that. But yes, people are very, very supportive here in Grand Rapids.
You know, I would love to, I know you don't have this, but I would love to know a statistic on women who have been absolutely adamant about Right to Life who have since learned that everything you speak was the truth
mm-hmm.
and that it changes lives. And sometimes for the worst.
Right.
Abortion, it's just a scourge. And hopefully, women listening today, anybody who might be considering an abortion would pick up that phone today and call the Right to Life hotline and have that conversation, because it's life-changing. And it puts you in a whole different understanding of that human being that is growing within you.
That's right.
And the dignity of human life at every level, from conception to natural death, we defend life. And that's important for us.
We're made in the image and likeness of God, and that's how, you know, young people, just going back one story I heard this morning, actually on the sidewalk, I think it was Mary Kay Schumer who told me the story about her daughter who was in a speech class at Ferris, and they had to give her a persuasive speech.
Mm.
And so she chose the topic of abortion. Her teacher was not pleased. But so the kids had to say what their stance was before the speech and then again after. And so whoever had persuaded the most people to change their mind were the winners or whatever. And so she gave this speech on abortion, and 32 out of 35 students were persuaded to
Isn't
change their
powerful?
Mind, and a few of the girls were even crying. Her teacher wasn't real happy because her teacher said, I don't agree with your views, but I will help you go to the next level with this speech.
Yes.
But here's the girl who was a sophomore in college, and it was all on education. She said, Mom, these kids just didn't know.
Of course.
They didn't know. And that's our battle, is to get that word out, to get the information out, to be able to get into schools, to be able to get into youth groups.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of the Protestant churches have Sunday or Wednesday night youth groups, and we'd love to get there and just talk about the issue.
Right.
You know, and let them know how early everything starts and why they should.
You know, Patty, you're putting out a call to a lot of people right now who are listening. So if you're interested in hearing, please contact Right to Life, because they will bring this message to your youth, because it starts with the youth, doesn't it, Patty?
It does. It does.
It starts with the youth, mm-hmm. because many adults or older adults have already formed their opinions, and mm-hmm. they're hard to change.
Mm-hmm.
They're the toughest ones.
Right.
But if we start forming the children for an understanding of what it means to stand for life and the understanding of conception and God's providence and all that, we change hearts.
We do.
We change hearts in that respect. So I salute this young woman for doing that talk.
I know. We do too.
That's courageous also, because she probably knew going in that her teacher was not going to be in agreement with her.
Right. A lot of college professors aren't.
Oh, of course. Most of them are very liberal.
Right.
And she really stood in the face of a tough situation.
Right.
So thanks be to God for her courage.
Yeah, we need more youth like her, you know?
Amen. I agree with that. Yeah. So now, in October, you'll have the Right to Life dinner. How many people normally attend that one, Patty?
Well, we usually have about 1,200.
Okay.
1 year we had Hannity, and that was like Jim Caviezel from Passion of Christ.
Yes.
That was huge. That was like 5,000 people. But this year we're having Dr. Ben Carson.
Wonderful speaker.
And wonderful speaker, wonderful story, how he grew up in impoverished Detroit and was raised by a single mom, and now he's a neurosurgeon, or he was. He's retired. But what a story, and what a passion he has for life.
Yeah.
And what a message he has for young kids.
Yeah, it is.
So,
and when you hear it firsthand, there's nothing more poignant than hearing that story of a person who's walked that journey.
Right.
And now understands the value to life.
Right.
And we've heard a lot of those stories, a lot of these people who have come from single-family homes. And I would suspect because of the broken homes in a lot of our situations today, or from single parents, that becomes an issue for abortion, too.
Yes.
Yeah, it's got to be profound in many areas, because
it is
difficult as a single parent.
Very difficult. And, you know, I just feel for these girls making these decisions, too, you know. And if they just had families that would support them, you know, and lead them to the right place.
Yeah.
You know, they just need that encouragement, because really, no, like you said before, nobody regrets having a child, but many people regret that they had an abortion.
Yes. Absolutely.
For sure.
I mean, I would think most people, almost all people look back and love their children.
Right.
Regardless of the situation.
No matter how naughty they are or whatever. Right.
Patty, how many children do you have?
Six.
Six?
Yes.
So
yes.
You enjoy the fruits of God's providence.
Yes, we do. We're very blessed.
And I know your children. I know your husband. You've got a beautiful family. How are they responding to your involvement in Right to Life?
Oh, you know, they're kind of carrying it on a little bit. I see my daughters who are married and they have families and they're active, you know, in their churches. And I call my one daughter, Annie. She lives out in California. And I guess, and this isn't really a Right to Life issue, but when the latest issue of Sports Illustrated came out, and after a third time at the checkout with the magazine right there, and she had a cart full of little kids, you know, and finally she wrote to manager, editor, whatever, owner of Safeway.
Mm-hmm.
She said, I was very offended as a woman, and I was very offended as a mother.
The swimsuit issue?
Right, it was their swimsuit edition. Yep, the 50th year or something.
Yeah.
And they wrote her back and said, we are taking them out and putting them undercover with the magazines. So I said, good for you.
Absolutely.
You know, good for you. You have to start speaking up, you know.
Well, and not only that, it goes to the heart of what we're talking about, because when there's a lack of dignity
for who a woman is,
right,
then the issue of sexuality becomes a moot point.
Mm-hmm.
It's no longer sacred.
Right.
Then it becomes just an obstacle.
Right.
Or should she just a vessel? Yeah. And that's how many men can view that.
Yeah.
And so we have to change that thinking.
Well, they have to really have that dignity that they're better than this.
Yes.
You know, they don't need to do this. They,
yeah.
You know, women are very empowered these days, and they can make it. There's enough help around where,
yes,
they can really.
And you know, there is something too when you're bringing your young children through a grocery store, and they're exposed to that also because they're seeing the same thing you're seeing,
right.
And it doesn't do anything for them for their understanding of the sexuality of a human being,
right?
And it really gives them a very tainted image on what it's supposed to be,
mm-hmm.
And so I think. Thank God that she wrote that letter.
Right. And I think more young people are probably standing up today, you know.
Yeah.
I liked that. I remember I had bought a T-shirt when our son Tom played football, and a black T-shirt, and it said, former fetus.
Oh.
There's this 200-pound guy.
Oh my God.
Lifting weights with a,
yes,
former fetus.
Yeah.
So, you
think
know,
about that.
There's easy ways to spread the message.
There is.
You know?
There is. You know, and I think about that. And, you know, how easy it would be for families today to just say, you know, that's all the children we want.
Right.
It happens all the time. Many of those decisions are just made out of, and I won't. I'm not being critical, but a little bit of selfishness.
Mm-hmm.
Just saying we choose not to have any more children.
Right.
And so it becomes an issue for you.
Yeah.
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 What is the adoption rate out of, if a woman chooses to go forth and have that child, is there any statistics on the adoption rate for that?
For the women that have
they've decided not to have the abortion. What would be the statistic of keeping them as opposed to abortion, or would it really depend on the age?
I don't know what that statistic would be. I would have a feeling that probably most of them keep them.
Okay.
I think that's probably more accurate. Planned Parenthood says that they, you know, counsel for adoption, but
okay.
Yet I think 1% of all their clients adopt out.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's many, many thousands of abortions that they perform.
Yes.
So they really don't give a lot of adoption counseling.
Yes. Once again, this is Holy Family Radio. This is Deacon Jim Thorndale, and I'm having a conversation today with Patty Cordy from Right to Life, and it's a joy to have you here, Patty.
Thank you.
You know, as we're talking about this abortion issue, or you know, the courageousness of many women who come to your clinic and turn away. During that time, do most of the women, and I ask this because I've prayed in front of the clinic there, and I don't have the opportunity to see who's coming in there, but do most women come alone, or are they escorted by somebody else?
They're almost always escorted by somebody else.
Okay.
I haven't seen too many by themselves.
They don't come in there alone.
No.
And of course, they're not under any doctor's supervision when they come in there. They just come into the abortion clinic.
Correct.
And it's a one-day procedure.
Well, actually, because of our pro-life laws, it has to be a 48-hour waiting period.
Okay.
So they come in and get the information, the cost, and
okay.
so on, and then they come back.
Is any of that cost funded by the government, or is this out-of-pocket cost?
This is out-of-pocket because now with this last with the new insurance,
right.
Obamacare, we were instrumental in passing it so that abortion would not be covered. They
right.
would have to have a rider. Very few women use insurance to pay for abortions.
Okay.
There is a church, I say church lightly, Fountain Street Church, that has an abortion fund. And
they
do tell those women if they don't have enough money that they can go there.
Hmm.
I know.
That's a sadness.
It is.
That is a sadness, and you know, I don't want to speak against our brothers, but
right.
I would certainly hope they might think about that, because
right.
it really doesn't lend itself to what we're trying to accomplish as Christian men and women.
Right.
Is the love of all people, from, like I said, from conception to natural death.
Right.
And that's our position as Catholics. I think that's the position as most Christians.
Yes.
Is that we really defend the dignity of life, and that's what Right to Life does too. You're not just about abortions, right?
No, all life, even at the end of life, too, to a natural death.
So how do you get involved in, say, euthanasia or any of that?
Yeah, the issues that have come up over the years, and
okay.
that's when we really call in hospice and lawyers,
okay,
psychologists, and then we have some panels on that, you know,
okay,
pain management, doctors, you know, so to let people know how they can manage pain without having to
exactly
go toward euthanasia.
But when you call these in, because you're not funded, I mean, are these people doing it?
Oh, yeah, they're all volunteers.
All volunteers.
All volunteers.
Isn't that amazing?
It is. There's wonderful people in Grand Rapids.
Oh, there
we
is.
We're very lucky.
I see that all the time. I'm
sure.
Here. I'm a deacon here in Grand Rapids,
right,
and we have a beautiful diocese here.
Mm.
We have people with a beautiful hearts to really protect the young, to protect the innocent, to protect the unborn.
Right.
If you could say something to people, and first of all, you know, I would like to do, Patty, you gave me a beautiful prayer here, and I'd like to read this prayer because it touched me when I read it. And I would like our listeners to hear this. It's a prayer for pro-life efforts. Hail and blessed be the hour and the moment in which the Word of God came to earth as a single cell and made his abode in the most pure body of the Virgin Mary. O cell divine, in that hour hear the prayers that we send to you across the ages. Welcome into your loving care the souls of all those children who are rejected by their mothers. Look with compassion upon those mothers who are driven by distress and delusion to seek the lives of their own offspring. Have mercy upon those who turn their training in the healing arts to the purposes of death. Inspire Christians everywhere to seek out and apply Christian solutions to social problems. Bless our efforts to educate and serve. Help us to conduct them in the spirit of humility and love that will win minds and hearts to accept the truth, to minister to those in need, and to forgo the resorts to violence. Amen.
Amen.
You know, Patty, that's a beautiful thought.
Mm-hmm.
You think of that O cell divine, that Jesus was at one time
a cell.
That cell, that lone cell in that body of our Blessed Mother.
Right.
And
how precious.
How precious that was. And you never, you know, how many times have we heard mothers say, you know, that did they ever imagine what their child would become? And some of the greatest people in the world have probably come from homes that were just in disarray and
yes,
broken.
Just terrible.
Yeah. And we're going to hear that from Dr. Ben Carson.
That's right. We
yeah.
will. We will.
Yeah. We hear that all the time.
Yeah. I guess one of the images I'd like to change is I think people that, let's say, are on the other side of our issue kind of look at us as, you know, well, who do they think they are?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and they just stand up there and tell us what to do. And I just want them to know that we're not. We're caring people. We really do care
yeah.
for the mother and the child.
Right.
And we want both to survive, and we want both to have a better life. And I know it's hard. I know when these girls go through these crisis pregnancies, it's, you know, not something that they had planned. And most of them are brokenhearted. You know, they're just their spirit is down. And so we just urge them to call, you know, to call our 1-800-WOMAN hotline. And we really, really can try to reach out and help them to get through this. Because years later, they'll be happy that they did.
Amen.
They will be.
Amen.
But so just so they don't think we're just another board or another organization.
No.
That, you know, that we really do care, and we know that they're hurting. They're really hurting.
And I know the people into the Right to Life. I've met many of the physicians and the mm-hmm. people who run this. And I see the love that they have for the people, like I said, for the mother and the child. And, you know, when people strike out at us and say, who do you think you are? It's not who I think I am. It's
mm-hmm.
it's who I know God is.
Right.
And this God has created this child in his image and likeness. And who are we to deny that child the life that God created? I always give the example. It would be taking a painting by Picasso, one of his beautiful works, and destroying it just because we didn't like it.
Right.
We destroy the masterpiece of the master.
Yes.
And who are we to do that?
Right.
You know, because this is what God ordained, and he brought this life into being. And we never know what's going to transpire in that life.
We never do. But all we know is it's, he's made in the image and likeness of God.
I think in terms of you, Patty, and think in terms of my own life, which child of yours would you have not? Just think about that now.
No, right.
I mean, once you see that face, it's all but love.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a deep, profound love for that child. And that's what you're doing when you're having these women see these ultrasounds. You're having them fall in love with their babies.
Yes.
And
yes.
they're seeing something that they've never envisioned.
Mm-hmm.
And it becomes profound.
Right.
It touches my heart when I talk about it.
I know.
Because you think about that first epiphany
that mother has, that, oh, my God, this is a child in my womb.
Right.
This is not a fetus.
Yeah.
This is not
a fetus. This is not tissue.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's so easy to convince people.
Well, and the way our society talks about, you know, well, I don't have time for this. I don't have the money for this. This is going to affect my career. And it's, you know, it's all, it's kind of a self-absorbed thinking, you know, when they feel like they can't, they just can't handle this at this time. But
And it becomes an issue for us. And that's where education comes in.
Yes.
That's for education. So what do you do for ongoing, or how do you continue to push for ongoing education through Right to Life and through these talks you can give?
Right. Anywhere we can get in. You know, we have a, we try to have a student drama team to talk to other students. But stories are the best, where people who have gone through an abortion and either regret it, you know, or someone who has chosen to keep the baby. There's Grand Rapids has all these organizations. We're not the only one. I mean, you know, we are Right to Life.
Of course.
But all of the other ones, they have people who minister to, and they have the Sidewalk Counselors give out a CD. It's called Pause. And they have a woman who had an abortion and a woman who gave a baby up for an adoption and a woman who kept her baby. And if these people will take this and look at these people and how they felt about them, you know, so there's so many resources out there. Our job is to get it in the hands, in front of people, and so they can think it through.
Would, on occasion, maybe you already addressed this, do you ever find any of the women who would readily agree to go and speak to groups after they've either, maybe they've had an abortion and they regret it, or maybe they've kept the child or they've put it up for adoption? I would think they would probably be a powerful advocate for what we're talking about.
Right. We have a few local people who will do that for us. Yep.
Okay.
And then, but we do bring these other speakers in, you know, like the rape victims and so on.
Right. You know, and I would just ask our listeners to have an open heart on this, and perhaps you have a group that you might know is pro-abortion, who may be against life, but I would ask you to keep an open heart, because, you know, just to listen to both sides can be a catalyst for a conversation, and to have a deeper understanding of what it means to stand for life in this culture of death, because there is nothing greater than our children.
Right.
There is nothing more precious than our children, and we can't selectively say who our children are going to be, because only God can ordain that. And so he brings them into our lives, and he asks us to be the carer for them, the caregiver.
The spokesperson for them.
That's right.
A voice for the voiceless.
Yes.
You know.
Being ecumenical, you said how many churches are involved in the 40 Days for Life, Patty?
It's over at 35.
35. Mm-hmm. And those are all in the Grand Rapids area?
Yes. As far out as Coopersville and Wayland.
Okay. Mm-hmm. If people want to get involved in 40 Days for Life, who do they contact?
There's a website, 40 Days for Life, I think it's /Grand Rapids campaign.
Okay.
That would be the best way. It would be just to type that in.
And I know we probably don't encourage them just to show up at the clinic.
They can.
They can.
Yes. Anyone can just go down.
Okay.
As long as they pray peacefully.
Yes.
You know, and they don't block the sidewalk or the entrance. And they, you know, they have to park on one of the side streets.
Exactly.
But we encourage anybody to go down at any time.
Yeah. And I want to emphasize what you said. It is a peaceful demonstration. It's really meant to do it in the love of God and the love of all human beings. And when you're out there, you really represent the pro-life forces.
Mm-hmm.
And we are not confrontational. We are not argumentative. We are people who stand in defiance of abortion and who pray to God, sometimes in silence.
Right.
Although I've been down there, I see a lot of those Catholic rosaries out there.
I know. You do. We had one year, a lady pulled in her car, and I think I probably told this story at our dinner. And she came around, and she said, I just want to thank you people for being out here. A year ago, I brought my daughter down to the clinic. I didn't want to, but she was 16, and her boyfriend said that he would break up with her if she kept the baby. And she said, I felt like she would commit suicide if I didn't go with her. She said, so I was in there. I was praying the whole time. She said I did not want to be in there. And when it came time to make the payment, you know, this was before the abortion, she said my credit card didn't work. And so we left to...
Thank God.
Thank God. So we left to go get money. But she said instead I went to a park. I talked to my daughter. I told her I would support her. I would watch the baby while she finished high school. And she said, she changed her mind, and she said, and she pointed to her car, and the baby, little baby boy was in the back seat.
Oh, my.
And, you know, this mother was working nights, you know, not a wealthy woman at all, but she said, my daughter will graduate from high school this spring.
Yeah.
She said, keep up the good work.
You know, that is faith.
Those are the stories that you need to continue on.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
And that little boy, that little baby has probably touched their hearts beyond their wildest belief.
Right.
My gosh, what a great story that
right.
is.
Right, and what great support that mom gave to her daughter and the daughter gave to her son.
You know, and parents listening, you know, things happen in families.
Sure, they do. The best families.
Yeah.
I mean, kinds.
Exactly. And, you know, our response is really in love.
Mm-hmm.
And if we really know that we love our children, the best way we can show that is supporting them, even in those unexpected times in their lives, because the joy and the rewards of that are profound. I personally know a lot of families who had unwanted pregnancies.
Right.
And those children are the most loved.
Yep.
Yeah. It's a wonderful grace.
They are.
You know, Patty, in the time we have left, I just want to reach out to you and I'd like you to speak to the hearts of maybe some women right now who are pregnant, who are contemplating an abortion, who have nobody to support them, who are really struggling with this decision. And who, for the lack of understanding of who God is in their life, what could you tell them?
Well, I would tell them that what they're holding in their womb is a very precious, precious life. And no matter how hard their life seems to be right now, if they can handle this and have the baby and either give the baby up or if they have support to keep the baby, you know, to keep praying, to pray to God, you know, that they have the strength to do this. But, you know, for some, a 13-year-old, that's a tough pregnancy.
It's a terrible tough pregnancy.
That's you know, 13, 14, 15. I mean, you know, they have peers that they're worried about, you know, and physically their bodies are very young. They're babies themselves, practically. And so that's why the world says, you know, they shouldn't go on with this. But I think you talked to, like, a mother who stopped the other day. She said, I was 14. We think the Blessed Virgin was probably 14,
mm-hmm.
you know. And
isn't that a
they can do
thought?
It. It is.
Yeah.
You know, and it was very common in those days. And today, you know, you see everything is out there, you know, where couples are living together and so many young high school girls keep their babies, you know. So it probably isn't as bad of a stereotype. Maybe as it used to be when they shunned these girls. But it's still hard. It's still hard, and it wasn't planned. But I just want to encourage them to call our office, call some life agency, you know, and get the help.
Yeah.
You know.
And if you're near a local church, stop in and talk to the priest or the pastor who can help you in helping to counsel you through this time, because their hearts are for you. Their hearts are for your child. And these are people who are trained in really being open and listening and really trying to help you discern what God would be calling you into.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're in a crisis, there's no better place to be than in the arms of a loving person who's willing to listen compassionately and lovingly and direct you.
Right.
And I think that's what you're saying, Patty.
I think so, too. And, you know, and if it's a question of someone in your home coercing you, you know, reach out to your pastor.
Yeah.
Stop by a church, you know, because they will have people to help them, you.
Exactly. And I know in my own parish, we could direct you right away to somebody who could help you out with the situation. You know, it when you're in the middle of the crisis, it's profound. But if you can step back and really analyze and really think through rationally what's going to happen down the road, sometimes you can get a vision of a brighter day.
Right.
And that's what we need.
Mm-hmm.
We need to bring that vision of a brighter day to those who are in crisis.
We definitely need to support them.
And that's what Right to Life does. They bring a vision of hope and life to those who can't see.
Changing one heart at a time.
Right? Amen. What a wonderful thing. Patty, I want to thank you for being here. You know, this is such a near and dear issue to all Christian people. It's such a near and dear issue to the hearts of we as Catholics, mm-hmm. too, because it really is an understanding of who we are and what God has created us to be. So, I mean, I tip my hat to all of you who work so tirelessly.
And you.
Oh,
You work tirelessly.
It's a lot of people. It's a lot of people. And it's a wonderful community.
It is.
You know, pro-life people are people that they're grassroots. You know,
yep.
they're not afraid to hit the sidewalks and help with legislation or help get the diaper drives or help get the clothes for women. You know, they're ready to reach out. And so all they need is for somebody who needs help to contact them.
Thank you so much for being here, Patty.
Thank you, Jim.
Thank all of our listeners today here on Holy Family Radio. This is Deacon Jim Thorndahl, and I wish you all God's blessing.
Thanks, Jim.
You're welcome.
You've been listening to Living the Catholic Life with your host, Deacon Jim Thorndahl, on Holy Family Radio. If you'd like to listen to this program again or share it with a friend, audio copies are available online at holyfamilyradio.net. Thank you for listening.